The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In those days, Mary got up and hurried to the hill country, to a town of Judah. She entered the home of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Just as Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She called out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? In fact, just now, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed, because the promises spoken to her from the Lord will be fulfilled." Then Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor on the humble state of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, but the rich he has sent empty away. He has come to the aid of his servant Israel, remembering his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever." This is the gospel of the Lord. Let's begin by setting the scene for our gospel reading this morning. Earlier in this first chapter of Luke, he tells us about two baby boys who were miraculously conceived. One of them was John the Baptist, the other was Jesus. John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, was a priest, and one day he had the honor of serving in the temple, and while he was in the temple, an angel appeared to him. Zechariah was frightened, but the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to name him John." This was astounding to Zechariah because he and his wife had been unable to have children. Now this angel was telling him that he would have a son when he and Elizabeth were old. Because he did not believe the angel, God made him mute. From that time until the son was born, he couldn't speak. It was only when he wrote on a tablet that his name was to be John and not Zechariah, he was finally given the ability to speak. And when he did speak, he sang the song that we call the Benedictus. And this is the song that we sometimes sing during the Matin service instead of the Te Deum. This baby, born to Zechariah and Elizabeth in their old age, was John the Baptist. His conception was miraculous because his parents were old and otherwise unable to have children. The other miraculous conception is what happened with Mary. Mary lived in Nazareth in Galilee. She was engaged to be married to Joseph, and one day the angel Gabriel appeared to her. He said, "Hello, you who are highly favored by the Lord. The Lord is with you." Mary was perplexed at these words and tried to figure out what kind of greeting this was, and the angel responded, "Do not be afraid. God is well pleased with you. You will conceive and bear a son, and the name you will give him is Jesus. He will be Son of the Most High. God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom." As you can imagine, Mary had a hard time understanding this. She asked how this would be since she was a virgin. Gabriel answered that the Holy Spirit will come upon her and the power of the Most High will overshadow her. That is why the child who will be born of her will be called holy. He will be the Son of God. Mary responded in a wonderful way. There has never been a higher word that has been spoken to a human being ever. There is nothing in the Old Testament that even holds a candle to what this angel just said to Mary, but she doesn't ask for any signs or wonders. She simply responded, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." The gospel reading that you heard this morning is what immediately follows after this. The angel had told Mary that her relative, Elizabeth, was also pregnant 6 months along. Mary went to visit her. She went from Galilee, which is in the north, down to the south, south of Jerusalem, into the hill country. Zechariah and Elizabeth were living in a town somewhere in that region. You heard how several unusual things happened and were said when Mary arrived at their house. When Mary said, "Hello," John the Baptist leaped and stirred about in the womb of his mother. Elizabeth then is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she confesses her faith. She believes in the baby whom Mary is carrying in her womb. That baby would only be called an embryo in our medical terms. Jesus was only weeks old at that point, a tiny human being. Elizabeth, like Mary, believed in the word of the Lord. This child is God's son, miraculously conceived by the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth is wonderfully comforting and encouraging to Mary. If people at that time were anything like they are at our time, then Mary would not have been treated very respectfully by everyone she came across. The way Elizabeth treated Mary must have been a nice reprieve for her. You can perhaps picture an older woman comforting a younger woman who otherwise might be treated quite roughly and rudely by others. In her comforting, Elizabeth especially points to Mary's faith. She tells Mary that it was very good that she had believed. The promises that God had spoken to her are going to be fulfilled. Then Mary sings a song. You might also be familiar with this song. We call it the Magnificat. It is sung during evening prayer or Vespers. It is a great psalm, as great as any that you might find in the Bible. The opening theme pervades everything that Mary has to say. My soul magnifies the Lord, or my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. Her thoughts are taken up with the promises and power of God. This is remarkable when you consider what else is going on with her. She had left Nazareth and gone way down to the south. Luke doesn't tell us why she did that, but it might be because all of a sudden she became pregnant. Not everyone is going to believe that the child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She is very pious, but in the eyes of others, it appears that she is a sinner. She also must have been concerned about what her fiancé, Joseph, might think of her. The first thought that would come to anyone's mind would be that she had been unfaithful. He knew it wasn't his child, so whose was it? Joseph, for his part, also had great faith when he was told in a dream that the child, the Virgin Mary, was carrying, was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He believed it. This was another miracle, another gift from God. Regardless, however, this must have weighed upon Mary's mind. In general, Mary was not in a powerful and proud state as far as her circumstances were concerned. There would have been plenty for her to complain about and to feel sorry for herself about. There is not the slightest hint, however, of self-pity in her song. In fact, this song is a song of victory, like the great psalms in the Old Testament. Mary is joyously defiant of anyone who would be her enemy. This is not because she found some self-worth within herself or embraced her feminine power. It was because she believed in the Lord her God. Specifically, she believed that God had not despised her for her humility, like many human beings do, but instead God had chosen her. Since God had chosen her, there was nothing that was going to hamper her joy, even though there would be plenty of fodder available for feeling blue if she had wanted to pursue such thoughts. Here we have a good lesson concerning faith. We should learn it well so that our souls may magnify the Lord along with her. It is not enough to believe that God or Jesus exists. It is not enough to believe that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, died on Good Friday, was resurrected on Easter. These are all facts that the demons are surer of than we are. Faith is when you believe that the Lord your God is for you. He's on your side. He's begun a good work in you, and he who has begun a good work in you is going to bring it to completion on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. It can be hard to believe that the Lord has chosen you. Just consider your humble state. I see no royalty before me today. Consider, more dreadfully, the bad things that you've done. You've broken all of God's commandments. You haven't been lovable, and yet you've been loved. God's love for you has prompted him to see to all your needs of body and soul. There's no element of your life that has not been seen to by God. Redemption has been worked by the atoning sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. He did this sacrifice one time, and it was for all people. It is the great sacrifice that makes all things clean. He has brought the word of his favor to you, just like he brought it to Zechariah or to Mary. One way or another, God has said to you, "You are my highly favored one." It probably wasn't by an angel. It might have been when you were baptized. It might have been when you were hearing some preaching. It might have been when you were talking with a friend. Barring all those other ways, it is being spoken to you now. Whatever way that word has come to you, you should believe that God is for you, that he has chosen you for salvation. Your sins cannot stop God. He is more powerful than your sins. He is more powerful than anything. He is more powerful than death. He is more powerful than the United States of America. He brings down rulers from their thrones and lifts up the lowly. You can be joyous no matter what circumstances you might be in when you realize that God is for you. He has chosen you. There is nothing that can stop your happiness ultimately, because there is nothing that can stop God who is for you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We talked about that last week. You can rejoice in the Lord in any and every circumstance. There is no exception whatsoever, because God is more powerful than everything and anything. But remember what I said to you about that rejoicing. It doesn't mean that you have to have a smile on your face all the time, that you have to jump and skip around. Inwardly, the Christian may be rejoicing, while outwardly there are all kinds of bad things that are going on. But we have been set free from being slaves to our circumstances. We are not dependent upon good circumstances in order to have joy in our God. Mary had joy despite many things that would have been very discouraging. She rejoiced in God, her Savior. She would continue to have joy in God, her Savior. When Jesus was just born, Mary and Joseph brought him to the temple. Old Simeon, there at the temple, made a prophecy concerning Jesus and concerning Mary. He told Mary that Jesus was going to be someone who would cause the rise and fall of many in Israel. He would be a sign that was spoken against. And as for Mary, a sword would pass through her soul, he said. A sword would pass through Mary's soul. Like any mother, she loved her child. Furthermore, she believed the word that was spoken to her about him. She believed that he was the Holy One of God. And yet, Jesus was denounced as a heretic. He was said to be possessed. He was said to be an agent of Satan. He was mocked and he was crucified. Mary was at the cross with only a tiny handful of others who were courageous enough to show their love for him at his darkest hour. Now, don't think that Mary had to have taken back her Magnificat when that sword was passing through her soul. Don't think that Christian joy is dependent upon the circumstances that we are in. Those whom God loves, he also chastises. The path by which we are led into eternal life is one that is specifically tailored for us. It has highs and lows. It is filled with unexpected twists and turns. It teaches us not to rely upon ourselves or upon even the strength of our faith, or upon our good works that we might do. Instead, God teaches us to rely upon him. Though the earth be moved and the hills be carried into the midst of the sea, we will not fear. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So you may sing the Magnificat, not just as Mary's song, but as your song, regardless of your outward circumstances. Your outward circumstances, to be sure, are different than the outward circumstances that Mary found herself in when she sang this song. But what matters is your inward circumstances, and those inward circumstances are the very same as the ones that Mary had. Why is Mary singing? It is because the Lord has done great things for her. He has chosen her. He is her Savior. Those very same things are also true about you. It does not matter who you are or what you have done in the past. Jesus has died for you. You are highly favored by God. Believe this, and it is yours. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.